To Acts chapter 1, Acts 1 verse 8, and tonight is going to be an introduction into the book of Acts, and we'll be looking at different verses as we go throughout this study, and the title of study is The Word Spreads. The word spreads. You know, with the school year beginning, and Ashley can attest to this, have you had any students out sick yet?
Not yet,
but it's soon to happen. Yeah, it's coming. Because you know as well as I do, in classrooms with children, it's like a petri dish. You know, one gets sick and they share food or, you know, they leave germs all over the desk. And, you know, then soon you got another kid being sick. And then pretty soon you got another kid. They're coughing and sneezing. They don't know how to cover their mouths. And they just spraying out germs all over the classroom. And what happens? It begins to say, in fact, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, Liberty Christian had to shut down for a day. Because the flu was just going through the school. Were your girls in the school, in the academy at that time?
They were 11 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, So it was, in fact, Liberty wasn't the only school. There was three or four in the area. Some public schools had to shut down because the flu. And so once one person gets sick, in fact, Faye is homesick tonight. I said, stay home. Okay, don't bring it. All right, just keep it at home with you. Because once one person gets sick in the household, in the classroom, in the church, what happens? Somebody else gets sick, and somebody else gets sick, and pretty soon it is just spreading. Okay, well, we can compare that in a kind of a strange kind of way. We can compare the book of Acts to a virus. And as we are going to study the book of Acts now, we will see of how God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, used men to spread his word. How he used the first half, and we'll get to that here in just a moment, began with Peter, then it transitioned over to Paul, and we'll see of how we can use the word infected. Of how people were infected by the gospel. Now, let's look at Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8, where the scripture says, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. Witnesses to me, where? Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, that is what I call a JJSE worldview. A Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth, the world. Okay? So that is why we must maintain here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And how do we do that? Well, what is our Jerusalem? It's your neighborhood. It's the town you live in. What is your Jerusalem? It's the state of North Carolina. What is your Samaria? The United States. What is the uttermost parts of the world? It's supporting the Rick Monteses. It's supporting Justin and Rachel Rhodes in London. It's supporting, who's the guy down in Costa Rica we support? Can't remember his name. Ed Bordell. Okay, down in Costa Rica that we support. It's by going on missions trips, you know, it's by taking a boat ride with Rick if you want to do that sort of thing. Sounds kind of, can I take my fishing pole, you know, and, you know. But the book, what's that?
For men.
For men, yeah. but as we go, I'm excited about this study. So tonight is just going to be a basic overview of the book of Acts. So let's look at the first point. Who wrote it? It was Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. Now, Luke is an interesting character. Let's go back to the very first verse here. Because the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, throughout the entire book of the book of Acts, Luke's name appears only three times in the Bible. It is not in Luke, and it is not in Acts. No. I think it does appear at the very beginning of Luke. So let me take that back. But that does not mean that he was not a very important New Testament figure, New Testament character. 27% of the New Testament was written by Luke. The book of Luke and the book of Acts. That is more than even the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, the Apostle Paul, if you look at books that he wrote, it is about 3/4 of the New Testament. But percentage-wise, it breaks down about 23%. John wrote 20%. But Luke referred to himself throughout the book of Acts as a third person. It was never the first person. Okay, you following me on that? He used first-person pronouns to indicate, though, that he was an eyewitness to certain events. But he was never the focus point of the story. Luke was a physician by trade. Theophilus was his boss. The culture of that time was, if you were of any kind of position in the Roman culture, the Greek culture, you had your own personal physician. And this personal physician was there with you at all times. That is what Luke was to Theophilus. Now, Theophilus, though, sent Luke on a journey. Actually, he sent him on two. The first one is what we have, the Gospel of Luke. That was his first journey. Theophilus had heard about Jesus. We don't know if he ever became a Christian. We don't know that. I assume that he did. But he sent Luke, he had heard about Jesus, so he sent Luke from Rome or from the Roman culture that they were living in to go to Judea where Christ was, well at that time it was called Palestine, sent him there to investigate the life of Jesus. Jesus had already lived, he had already ascended up into heaven, so what was Luke doing? Luke was investigating the way that a doctor would investigate an illness. They ask questions. Okay, when I was in the medical field, whenever we went to a person's house, there was four questions that we had to ask. And it was an acronym of SOAP. I don't even know if I can remember. SOAP was symptoms, signs and symptoms. O was observation. A was assessment. And P was physical findings. Well, I remembered it. Okay? And whenever we wrote our report, we had to write it out. S. Okay? Patient was sitting up on bed. Patient was pale. Or patient had good color. Okay, patient's face was drooping. Okay, we had to write all the signs and symptoms. Then our observation, what did we observe with that patient? The assessment and what was the P? Yeah, physical findings, yeah, something like that. Okay, all right. I know, yeah. Don't ask me to remember it twice. Okay, so we had to write that out. And we had to be very clear about what we saw because our supervisors would then take our reports, we called them our trip tickets, would take our trip ticket, and well, I had one guy would just kind of like look at it and goes, all right, looks good. But then there was another field supervisor. I don't want to say his name because he might be listening. I doubt it, though. His brother might. But, I mean, he would take out a pen and he would... Yeah, I mean, every word. I mean, he would do this. And I'm like, oh, my soul, are you kidding me? Come on, finish it, will you? Okay. But we had to explain everything. Well, and if you are sick, especially if you feel like you are having some serious health issues, do you want a doctor to come into your room and just say, hey, take a couple of Tylenol and a couple of aspirin and ibuprofen, you'll be all right. No, you want that doctor. That's the way the Army works, right? Okay. But you want that doctor to examine you. Well, that is what Luke did. Luke was basically a private investigator, investigating the life of Christ. So when you read the shepherd's account, guess who he interviewed? The shepherds. Face to face. When he interviewed the thoughts of Mary, guess who he talked to? Mary. When he talked about all of the miracles of Christ, guess who he talked to? All of those that were involved in the miracles of Christ. Okay, so all of the book of Luke is his interviewing the eyewitnesses' accounts of what occurred. It was not hearsay. Well, what did you hear? No, it is the eyewitness account. You know, it's like when a person testifies in a court of law, they can't go into the court of law as hearsay. It's got to be an eyewitness account of what they saw. Well, that's very similar to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is, if he wasn't personally involved, he interviewed those that were involved and he wrote their accounts down. So Luke here was a physician. He was not only sensitive of people's physical needs, but he was also sensitive of people's spiritual needs. He accompanied the Apostle Paul on some of his missionary journeys. Now, let's go, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, let's read verses 9 through 11. Now, here's Paul writing a letter to his young son in the ministry by the name of Timothy. The books of 1 and 2 Timothy are tremendous books to read and to study. This is, Rick, I may be correct, Pastor Kim, but was 2 Timothy his last book that he wrote before he was martyred? I believe I'm right on that. Because he talks about his departure is at hand. Okay, it says, be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Okay, what an unbelievable thing to have written about you by the Apostle Paul, of where he says, everyone has left me except one, and that's Luke. Yes, sir? Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly right. Demas rejects the opportunity. Demas he started off well. But then he rejected the gospel altogether and just totally rejected everything about God, and he's known as basically an apostate. But Luke stayed with him. He was loyal, not only loyal to Paul, but he was loyal to the Lord. Now, let's go to Philemon. Okay, now Philemon is only one book. So don't go looking for Philemon 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got this new Bible. I'm trying to find it. I'm going to have to get those tabs. I know, those cheat tabs, man. Hey, I wouldn't feel bad about having those things because I saw John MacArthur's Bible and he's got them all over. Man, I'm having a hard time finding it. Right after Titus, right? Titus, Hebrews. There we go. All right, found it. I know, it's just one page, yeah. All right, so let's look at verse 24 of Philemon. Okay, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and what? Luke. And how is he described? My fellow laborers. My fellow laborer. So Paul is known as the greatest one of, if not one of, probably the greatest Christian to have lived. Wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. But he writes Luke here as my fellow laborer. He has the same vision that I have. He has the same outlook with the gospel that I have. He has the same desire as I do to see my countrymen come to Christ, but not only my countrymen come to Christ, but the Gentiles come to Christ as well. Luke was a Gentile. Luke was not a Jew. Yeah, he became, yeah, yeah, I believe so as well. Yeah, yeah, very good point. So Luke understands here that the spreading of the gospel is of utmost importance. So he sticks with Paul, and God uses Luke in a tremendous way. Now let's look at number two. Yes, sir. Yeah, he wasn't just a journalist. That's exactly right. He was into stuff. Okay. So let's look at the overview of the book of Acts. An overview. So let's go back to Acts 1. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Luke, I asked the guy one time, I said, hey, can you name the 12 apostles? And he went, well, I can start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, two of the four, they were not apostles. Okay? Mark was not, and Luke was not. Okay? I know, it does sound good, yeah. You know, at VMI, Virginia Military Institute, now this is not related here, but they have four canons out in front. Does anybody know what their names are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those four canons were actually real canons that were in Stonewall Jackson's brigade. And he said, if we can't shower them with cannon fire, we'll shower them with the gospel. Of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or both, that's exactly right. Yeah, they'll tie tracks around them. Yeah. Both books of Luke and Acts are equally inspired by the Holy Spirit. There is not one sentence, not one word, not one punctuation mark as far as a period or anything of that nature that is not inspired, one jot nor tittle, as Christ said, that is not written down underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we've already read verse 1. Now let's read 2 through 4. until the day in which he was taken up, talking about Christ, and he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Israel, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." So who has Luke investigated? Who has he interviewed? The 12. He has interviewed them. What did he say? What did he say before he departed? What were his instructions? Give me every word, word for word. What happened? As he was ascending, what occurred? And we also see very similar in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's go there if you would. Luke chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. Okay? You there with me? All right. "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were" what? "Witnesses, eyewitnesses." So he is interviewing people who are eyewitnesses to everything that he is going to document. "And ministers of the word deliver them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you on orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty." Okay, now when you see that word certainty, what does that mean? It happened. "That what you are going to read in my letters to you happened, because I've got eyewitnesses that it happened." When there is a crime, what is the first thing that police ask when they arrive on the scene? Did anybody see what happened? Okay, they arrive on a car accident scene. Okay, there's cars pulled over. Did you see what happened? Okay, what did you see? Then let's say a lawyer is being represented by the person that either caused the accident or is suing the one that caused the accident. Okay? What does the lawyer do? He sends his paralegal to what? Ask the eyewitnesses. What did you what? See. Not what did you hear? What did you see? So as he is going through this, he is asking the eyewitnesses of not only in Luke's gospel, also in Acts, what did you see? What did I see as I was on these missionary journeys with the Apostle Paul? He did. He became a witness, right? Now, Theophilus was Greek. His name simply means a lover of God. Gentile Christians are the readers of these two books. It is written in the Greco-Roman style of writing. So let's look at the date. It is probably written in the years of AD 62 or AD 63. Now, how do we know that? There are two significant events that are not mentioned in either Luke's gospel or the book of Acts. The first event is there is no reference made to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Okay, remember Christ predicted that. So there's no mention of that. Secondly, there is no mention of Nero. So there is no mention of them too. Okay? Nero came into power towards the end of the life of the Apostle Paul. In fact, it was Nero that was responsible for the martyrdom of Paul, but there's no mention of Nero. But if you want to put down the major one of the two, is the destruction of Jerusalem. And that happened in AD 70. Now let's talk real quick about the literary nature. It is a narrative. Now what do we mean by a narrative? It's a true story. It is a true story. There are many things of repetition throughout the book of Acts. There are many repeats that we see in verses. There are many comparisons between Peter's leadership and Paul's leadership. There is structure of the geographical expansion of the church. And then there is the symmetry of the book, and that is that there is just a good balance, that all of the gospel accounts of people being one to Christ and believing in Christ are all the same as far as their belief. Now, how they came to Christ, many of them are very different. Okay, let's use the eunuch that was out in the desert. Okay, that was very, very different than what happened at Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost is Peter came before all of those Jews that had just crucified Jesus. 40 days earlier, they are responsible for the death of Christ. They were the ones that stood there before Pilate and said, "Crucify him." But then Peter confronts them about it, and they say, "Well, what do we need to do? You need to repent and believe the gospel." So at that moment, those thousands of people came to know Christ. But then you have Philip and the eunuch. Philip is just riding through the desert underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Sees a eunuch sitting in a chariot with a scroll, and Philip walks up to him. "What are you reading?" "Well, I'm reading Isaiah 53. Can you explain this to me?" So explains Isaiah 53 to this eunuch about how that is the prophecy of Jesus Christ. "Well, how can I know him?" "Believe." "So you believe. What do I need to do?" "Well, you need to be baptized." "I don't see any water." "Well, I do right over there. There's an oasis." Okay, so all of the accounts of how they came to Christ are different, but believing in Christ is all the same. Now, let's look at the purpose. The purpose. The main purpose is the beginning of the church. And we could say the beginning and the growth of the church. Secondly, Acts legitimizes taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Legitimizes taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And then thirdly, that the church is the vehicle through which God would accomplish his purpose. It started off at Pentecost, which is the beginnings of a New Testament church. And then as you see, what all of the missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul went to, what was he doing when he went to Galatia? He was establishing a church in Galatia. What was he doing when he went to Thessalonica? He was starting a church in Thessalonica. What was he doing when he went to Philippi? He was starting a church in Philippi. So all of these letters of our books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians are all letters that he wrote to those churches that he had helped begin when he was on those missionary journeys that we will study about as we go through the book of Acts. Now, let's go through a chronology here. Okay, a chronology. Okay, basically, the book of Acts is divided up chronologically into three ways. Okay, let me tell you those three ways. You can write them down if you'd like. Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 6 talks about the ascension of Jesus, the birth of the church, and the spread of the gospel in Jerusalem. Okay, let me say that again. Acts chapter 1 through 6 records the ascension of Christ, which we see in Acts 1:8, the birth of the church, day of Pentecost, thirdly, the spread of the gospel in Jerusalem. The Apostle Peter is the key figure in this. Many believe that also during Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 6, the book of James was also written. Acts chapter 9, 13, and 14 is the conversion of Paul and the record of Paul's first missionary journey. So we could say here the conversion and the beginning of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Thirdly, is Acts 15 through Acts 18 is Paul's second missionary journey. This is where he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And then the rest of the book of Acts is the third missionary journey. And that is 1st and 2nd Corinthians was written, Romans was written. Paul was put into prison. While he was in prison, he writes Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. And then at the end of Acts, he is on his way to Rome, and it basically ends there. So what are some key emphasis here that we will see? Okay, now let's talk real quick about Paul's voyage to Rome. Okay, so here we have the chronology here. The first one, Acts 1 through 6, Gospel to Jerusalem, the book of James was written. Secondly, Acts 13 to 14, first missionary journey, the book of Galatians was written. Thirdly, Acts 15, then we have the Jerusalem Council. 15 through 18, the second missionary journey, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Acts 18 through 21, we had the third missionary journey, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Romans. Acts 21 through 28, the Roman imprisonment, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. Okay, the key emphasis. Number one, the key emphasis, Jesus is alive. That's Acts 1. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. Now, once again, we have what? Eyewitnesses. We have eyewitnesses that saw Jesus alive. Yeah, for 40 days he's alive. He's interviewing them. He wastes no time in verse 3 of saying that, let's go back. He wastes no time in saying in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 of where he says that to whom he also presented himself, what? Alive. After his suffering by many infallible proofs. Now, what do you mean by that word infallible? Cannot be proven wrong. That is true. Okay, when a lawyer... I've used this illustration many times, and if you've been on jury duty, right? Okay, what does that judge tell you? He is not guilty until the prosecutor proves that he is guilty. He's guilty. So in your mind, he is not guilty. Now he never uses the word innocent. Innocent is different than not guilty. He still may have committed the crime, but in your mind, when you come down with that verdict, if you are 99% sure that he did it, but you have 1% doubt, you have to write not guilty on that piece of paper. Because that prosecutor has not proven 100% that guy did it. So when that attorney says this is infallible, there are no holes here in their defense, I have proven to you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that he is guilty. Well, that's the same thing that Luke says here. He says, by many infallible proofs, plural, more than one, that there is more than one proof. There are many infallible. There are no holes here. There is no one that can say, well, no, that didn't really happen. Okay, that's just hearsay. No, this really happened. Jesus is alive. Secondly, Jesus is one with his church. Jesus is one with his church. In Acts chapter 5, we see a very scary incident. There's a man by the name of Ananias that had kept back some money that he had promised to give. He got greedy. Peter approached him. Did you keep back some of the money? Well, no. You know what happened? He got struck dead. Boom, fell right dead. They covered him up. A couple hours later, the wife shows up. Did you and your husband keep back some of the money? No. And Peter looks at her and says, just like your husband died 2 hours ago, you're dead too. Boom, she's dead. Boy, that should really scare us. That should really scare us. Okay, so when Luke interviews Peter about this, he is also interviewing other eyewitnesses about this account as well. Now, what is the key behind that? Because Peter says, you didn't lie to me about this. You lied to the Holy Spirit. So here we have, he promised to the church that he would give financially. He held back some of it. And because he reneged on his promise to the Holy Spirit, but then he told Peter that he did. But he just didn't lie to Peter. He lied to the Holy Spirit. And he was struck dead because of that. So Jesus is one with the church. Number three, Jesus' gospel is powerful. Jesus' gospel is powerful. And we will see over and over and over throughout our study of the book of Acts just how powerful the gospel is. There are men, women, children, many different people of different ethics or ethnic. There you go. Since I've got this partial in my mouth, I can't hardly pronounce a word. If I didn't look so foolish with my empty hole there, I wouldn't have it in there. But the gospel is powerful. So let's look at some regular reports of church growth that we are going to look at as we go through this study. In Acts 2:47, we see, and the Lord added to the church. Acts 6:7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. 9:31, the churches were multiplied. 12:24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. 16:5, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number. How often? Daily. 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God. So how do we need to go about this study? We need to commit to spread the word. You need to commit to spread the word. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the great report that